Christ is restoring the Spirit to its proper place of dominion for those who will embrace it. Man lost his sense of relationship and responsibility towards God, and that, in effect, made him lawless. Jesus talks about in the last times how there will be such lawlessness, but that exists now. Lawlessness is really living apart from God. And in, I believe it's Matthew 24, Jesus says, lawlessness will abound. It will abound. And you know, we can't ignore the spiritual side of man without magnifying the intellect. And that's the society we live in today. We magnify the intellect. And doing this, embracing that thought, without the restraint of the Holy Spirit, it unleashes man to do whatever they think is the appropriate thing. And we see the results. There is so much going on right now that is anti-Christ. Sickness is death in progress. And there are really three kinds of sickness. There is a sickness that manifests in the body, a sickness in the soul, and really a sickness in the spirit. But the basic sickness is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. In Proverbs 18, verse 14, the Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. What does that mean? That means that when you're attacked, if your spirit is strong, it can sustain you through that sickness. It doesn't mean that we'll never get attacked. We will. But in order to come through that, your spirit must be strong. And then it goes on to say, but who can bear a broken spirit? Who can bear a broken spirit? That's the place that we really get defeated. Typically, if our spiritual strength is not in God, then we don't have the necessary inner strength to fight against the strategies of the evil one. And we don't hear God clearly enough to know what to do. Hearing God is essential. It's essential because your body gets tired the moment your spirit is discouraged. It's so important to keep our spirit strong in the Lord, because a person is defeated really only when they're defeated in spirit. And they can't draw on that inner strength to sustain them through it. And it's a difficult thing because we live in a time when there's so many attacks that come against us, particularly the people that want to follow God, the people that want to embrace God, the people that want to love God. And when these attacks come, and they come to everybody, you know, they come to everybody, the good, the bad, and the ugly, comes to them all. The only way to fight it is through the power of the Spirit. And if you can keep your spirit strong, and you can, you will have the strength to get the wisdom from God to know what to do. If you think of a car battery and those two things, they get corroded and there's rust on them. And you go to connect them to boost it, what happens? Not much. Why? Because the connectors have things on them that stop the connection from flowing through. Well, in our spirit, a wounded spirit can't give the strength that we need to fight off the things of the enemy. We need to make sure, first of all, that we keep our connection clean with God. And that's not that hard to do. It's a matter of daily maintenance of being in the presence of the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us about the various areas of our lives that need attention. Your spirit, my spirit, is the part that connects with God. That's how I connect with God. People who are unsaved or out of fellowship with the Lord, they can't do that. They can't connect properly with God. They don't hear the Spirit well. And the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. In fact, in John 4:24, I believe, it says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. What does that mean? That means that we worship God, we connect our spirit to God. And truth, what is truth? The Bible, according to the Word of God. If your spirit is out of harmony with the Holy Spirit, it's much more difficult to get faith for healing. It's more difficult because we are not able to get that pure connection from God. And we need it. Every single one of us needs it. We all do. There are no exceptions. It is in the connection with God that we are able to see and hear the will of God, the heart of God, knowing that what direction we should go in, what the things that we need to do. The Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 13, says, well, Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says that the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you what to do. He'll give you information. Now I'm paraphrasing a bit, but He said He'll take from what is mine and make it known to you. That's a mind-boggling promise. Amen. I mean, I want to know what Jesus knows, don't you? Amen. We all do. But in order to get that, I've got to have my connection clear. And keeping my connection clear is a full-time job. It means I have to guard my soul. I have to guard my heart that I don't allow the corrosion to come in and block my ability to hear God. Fortunately for us, God has made a way for when we screw up.
Amen.
To put it bluntly. He has made a way for us when we sin, when we neglect Him, when whatever goes on, to be restored to genuine and open fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And where is that found? Any thoughts? Somebody said it.
1 John 1.
Verse. What does it say? A bit louder here.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
A double deal. Not only forgiveness, but He does a house cleaning. So the enemy can't come back and stick it in your face and say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Faith, Bible faith, is a product that comes to your spirit, your born-again spirit, not from the intellect. My intellect cannot produce faith. Regardless of how much knowledge I may have, it cannot produce the faith of God. Only my spirit can. And when God speaks to me, when He interprets, communicates, all the things we talk about in 1 Corinthians 2, He does it spirit to spirit. His spirit to your spirit. So your spirit, my spirit, is where we receive the things of God. And then we need the help of the Holy Spirit to interpret them. That's why He tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, around there, that we need to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. We pray for a spirit of wisdom, what to do, and revelation, what it means, in the knowledge. What's the knowledge of God? The Bible. so that we need, he's telling us, we need help. None of us is smart enough to say, I don't need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I have the knowledge of God. We must have his perspective.
Amen.
He ignites faith in your spirit. He brings it alive. Because the word Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit, life. So that we need his help to understand what that means. See, we may gain a lot of knowledge, and that gives us grounds to have faith and want faith, and even a deep passion to have faith. But faith can only be produced and reside in your spirit. It's in your spirit, not your soul. And that is something that God has been trying to get across to us for centuries. And it's really one of the most neglected areas in most people's lives. I mean, I was 30 years old before I even knew I had a spirit. The devil has been extremely successful at keeping us from the knowledge that we have a spirit and what to do with it. In fact, there are many today that don't believe we have a spirit. They believe we're just a soul and a body. But we need God's view of life. Our lives, your life. We need the perspective of God. And in order to have rich, beautiful faith, our spirit must feed on the Word of God.
Yes.
And when I say feed, I mean a glutton. You know? We need to binge on the Word of God. We need to binge on communion with God.
Yes.
I've had times when I didn't have major decisions in life. For example, quitting my job at the government to go to Bible school. I was 35 years old. Had a good job with the government. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord tell me, quit. Quit. And go to Bible school. And in the natural, that just didn't make any sense. You know. I mean, it did not make any sense to me at all. I was 35 years old, making $100,000 a year in 1987. That was a lot of money. It's a lot of money now, but it was a lot more then. And to just walk away from that seemed insane. But it wouldn't go away. It would not go away. And so we took 3 months to make that decision. And 3 months of seeking God's will and listening to God and not listening to people, because almost without exception, every one of our spiritual friends told us that God would never ask you to do that. Never. And it was sheer vanity and stupidity to do it. But over 3 months, and I'll be honest enough to tell you that I put out a fleece. I've never done it since, but I was young, and I wasn't sure what to do, so I did put out a fleece. Actually, I put 3 of them out. And he answered every one of them. I've never done it since then, because you're not supposed to do that. But it was such a big decision. But it still took 3 months to hear God clearly, spending hours with him. Hours, day after day after day, to hear clearly what the voice of God is saying. But he spoke to us. God did speak to us, not in an audible voice, but he spoke to our spirit and confirmed that it was the right thing to do. And I'm going to tell you that having made that decision didn't mean that everything went well. You know, it was most of the people I worked with wouldn't talk to me anymore. And we had troubles that we had to overcome. It was difficult. So just because you're in the will of God doesn't mean things are going to go simple and easy for you. But once you've got the determined, I'm going to follow God. And in order to be able to hear him, we must We must. Can I say that again? We must soak in the Word. Why do we need to soak in the Word? Because your mind is geared towards the world. The things that we have to deal with, the things that come at you, that's what your mind's focused on. And in order to get that out of your mind, it takes time to settle it all out. And it takes hours to sit and just soak in the Word of God and pray and ask God and worship God and to be determined to say, God, I need to hear you. I need to hear you. I need to hear the voice of God. So that when you've made a decision, you can see it through. Because there will be obstacles that come against you in it. And so the key to strong faith is a vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that means a sense of submission and humility, especially when we blow it. That God, He will redeem us and forgive when we sincerely go to Him. So, if you want healing in your body, that has to come into your spirit first. Unless you're blessed enough to have an instant manifestation, which some are, but most are not. It takes time. It takes time. And especially for those of us who know the Word, there's an expectation from God. Just as, you know, when the child is 2 years old, your expectations are here. But when a child is 35, the expectations go up. You don't want to see a 35-year-old running around in a diaper. Do you? No. Well, God has expectations for us too. That as we grow in Him, there is an expectation that our faith level will rise with Him. And that can only come from daily feeding on the Word. And through confession. Now that's almost become a dirty word in a lot of circles. But it's critically important that we confess the Word. It's critically important. We need to hear it. You need to hear it. You need to hear yourself speak it. Because especially when something is attacking you, your mind goes to the symptoms. You don't have to say to anybody, oh, I see you have a cut in your arm and broken. I think you should focus on that. You don't ever have to tell somebody that. Why not? Because they're already doing it. They're already focused on it. But to change it from that, to change, even in things like depression, the key to changing depression is what you think. The thoughts that come in our mind and tell us that things are hopeless, nothing's ever going to change, where it's only going to get worse, God doesn't care, nobody else cares. And we start to think, I'm all by myself. Those thoughts need to be taken captive and they need to be changed. And the next point is communion. Communion with God. Communion with the Holy Spirit to the point where we can hear Him. Who am I thinking of here? Philip, in the book of Acts. What happened to him? Was he a man who heard God? Yes. The Spirit of God said to him, go to such and such a street. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And then when he went to the... That's all he told him, by the way. He didn't give him the whole plan. Didn't say, this is all I want you to do. I'm sure that's a bit frustrating, but that's how it works. Once he went to where he was supposed to go, then he said, I want you to go up to that chariot. And he went up to that chariot, and he listened, and he heard, and he knew what to do. And so God led him step by step. Step by step. And it's receiving properly from God. When you're being prayed for, that healing power, it comes down from God through the spirit of the person praying for you, and out through their hands, if they're laying hands on you, into your body. But if your soul is weighed down with all kinds of worldly cares, It's very difficult for your spirit to hang on and lay hold of that healing power for very long. It's difficult for that to happen because God is a spirit and He releases His anointing through the spirit to the spirit. That's how we receive from God. That's how He imparts Himself to you. That connection of being laying on of hands, that's God's direction for us. He said, when you lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. But if your spirit is weighed down and your soul is weighed down, and you've got all kinds of cares that are flowing through your mind and anxieties and fears, then it's like the machinery is clogged up and it doesn't get through properly. It just simply doesn't go through. And then I've laid hands on lots of people where I can literally feel the anointing go in and come right back out. And occasionally I'll tell them something like, just relax and receive. And typically the response I get is, I am. Okay. I don't push it past that. There's no point. But it's so important. God doesn't force Himself on anybody. Anybody. You have to want to receive. You have to want to. You have to desire for God to get deeply into your spirit. And sometimes it's necessary to do business with God before, to get a deep cleansing of the soul and a healing of the spirit, because something has happened and it's clogged things up. And we may be ashamed. I'm not worthy for God to heal me. I'm not worthy for God to do this. I'm not worthy for that. And the enemy's right there on your shoulder saying to you, absolutely, you are not worthy. You don't have to ask Him for His help. He's right there. In Romans 8:16, it says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. What does it mean, bears witness? What do you think that means? That means the Holy Spirit communicates to us. He communicates to us that we belong to God. He communicates to us the thoughts of God for our current situation. He's speaking to us. How does He do that? Spirit to spirit. That's how He does that. But if my spirit is weak, if my spirit is broken or weighed down, if my soul has dragged my spirit into the mud, it's really difficult to hear the Holy Spirit. That's why it is so important. It's so important that we spend the time to get things right. Nothing's more important than that. Because without it, we won't hear clearly. We just simply won't hear. And we need to hear what God is saying. And it's also having the, not the confidence, but the assurance. What's Jesus doing? Well, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it's talking about how Jesus is able to, well, let's read it, save us to the uttermost. And the word save there is sozo. Let's read Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore, He, Jesus, is also able to save sozo to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. That means, the word here, uttermost, means completely or forever. He is able to sozo you to the uttermost. That means whatever the problem is, it's in here. It's included in here. And then it goes on to say that He always lives to make intercession. Well, you know what? That's a comfort to me. To know that Jesus is praying for me and saying that no matter how sick I am, no matter how sick I am, there is healing for me when I contact the healer. When I contact the healer. I need God's help. that I need to get things in order. And what I mean by that is my spirit has to be the dominant force inside of me. My spirit tells my soul what to do. My soul tells my body what to do. Now, the wonderful thing, I came across this scripture a few days ago. It's in Job. It's not a book I read too often, but quite interesting scripture here. Job chapter 22. Job is just before Psalm, by the way. Verse 23. If you return to the Almighty, you'll be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Verse 25. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold. Now, the word gold there actually means defense. Why they wrote gold, I don't know, but it means defense. Verse 27. I love that verse, 27-28. You will make your prayer to him, and he will hear you. And you will pay your vow. You will declare a thing, and it will be established for you. That's a pretty strong word. You'll declare something. We declare the word of God, and it will be established for us.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to declare the word of God over those who need healing and want to be prayed for. If you need healing and you want to be prayed for, what I would like you to do to make facilitate this, and Matt, you come up and speak for a moment. Matt would like to say something, but we're going to put you in a chair and have people gather around you and speak the word of healing into your body, into your soul, into your spirit.
So what we have been praying for Joanne since the start is whenever Jesus told Jairus that he was going to go to his house and he was going to heal his little girl because she was on the brink of death. And when Jesus came in, he saw all the people in the natural saying, all like, she's dead.